Welcome to All About Breastfeeding, the place where the girls hang out. This is Lori Jill Eisenstadt, IBCLC, and I'm thrilled that you're here with us today. My guest today is Ben Toati, CCHRSHOM, and he is a board certified in classical homeopathy and is a registered homeopath with the North American Society of Homeopaths. Ben has practiced homeopathic medicine for 20 years, teaching extensively as a faculty and having served as department chair and director at the American Medical College of Homeopathy. He often lectures for wide-ranging audiences, including universities, hospitals, libraries, and various community centers, educating the public and medical professionals about the scientific principles and efficacy of homeopathy in clinical settings. And Ben, I would like to welcome you to the show. You are my first homeopath person to be on the show. And I say person because I know a lot of people want to say doctors, and I'm going to let you address that. But for right now, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. It's good to be here.
I would like for you to start telling us a little bit about, let's start with the family that you grew up in, just a little bit about how you grew up, where you grew up.
Oh, of course, of course. So I was born in Persia, in Tehran, Iran, and I grew up shortly after when I was roughly about 8 or 9 years old, is when the situation in that part of the world, in Iran in particular, started to change, where a Islamic government took over Iran, and the Shah, so to speak, or the king was sent out and whatnot. And ever since then, things have not been good over there. And then in particular, persecution and execution of religious minorities and the Baha'is in particular. And since I myself and my mother belong to the Baha'i faith, the situation was not pleasant. So a lot of the friends and some of the distant family members were all of a sudden in trouble, and they were being persecuted, and some good friends of my mother, who had been very, known community servants, including doctors and social workers and whatnot, were unfortunately executed by that government. So that kind of forced me to leave Iran and to come to United States. So that's how my story started. I came to United States as a refugee, if you will, with having obtained a religious asylum, and that's how things started.
Did you come to the United States with any family members?
And no, not initially. And initially, I had gone to Turkey. In Istanbul is where I went to, because that was the only country that would take me without complications. I was able to kind of go there initially at the age of 13, and I was there by myself, and I was there for about 1 year before being able to obtain a student kind of permission visa, if you will, to come to United States. So, but when I did come here, I was able to stay with some relatives until my mother, who was in Italy at the time, was able to join me here later on.
Where were your relatives living in the United States?
In Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio, is where I had a maternal aunt. So I went and stayed with her for a few months before, my mother was able to join me, who was, as I mentioned, in Italy with her brother at a time. So, so she arrived and she was in a very poor health because of all the emotional trauma and the abuse that had been done since the revolution in Iran. So she started deteriorating really fast. And the medical community's answer to that was a lot of medication and shock treatment. And that's something that kind of got me to wanting to help individuals get better. But at that time, only thing we knew was the conventional treatment that was available, which essentially led into her progressive decline of health.
So was it the way that your mother was treated that led you to, did you first look into conventional medicine and then that was not working well and then got an interest in homeopathy? Like, because homeopathy is not in your circles well known, but in mainstream not so well known. So my curiosity, how does a young boy of 13 get to the point of showing an interest in homeopathy?
Very good question. So I was very much passionate about helping people, and I thought that the field of medicine is something that I want to get into. But with seeing what was happening with my mother and spending some time at the conventional clinics, I soon realized that I just didn't seem right to me. So in other words, I was like, could not bring myself to either performing certain procedures or giving medications that I knew that potentially had side effects, or recommending patients to receive electrical shock treatments or things like that. So to me, it seemed very invasive and something that I personally could not do. So I decided to kind of change majors and pursue social sciences, and eventually became a social worker for Children's Services in Columbus, Ohio. It was for Franklin County Children's Services, it was called. So that's how I had started initially. And it was through a somewhat of an accidental encounter where I had an abscess developing in my gum that was really growing rapidly and very painful. And I had gone to my dentist, and they said that this is something that may need to be operated on, and gave me some antibiotics. I wasn't too excited about taking medications, but nonetheless, I was going to do that because I was going to follow through with what they had asked me to do. And I had gone to a friend of mine who had just arrived from India, and he had spent about 15 years or so in India. And he was telling me that, have you tried homeopathy before? And I didn't know anything about it. And he mentioned that, yeah, homeopathy was somewhat more known in India than it was in the United States, and that he himself had started studying it somewhat and asked me some questions and brought some textbooks, repertories, and materia medicas. And he was looking through different homeopathic medicines and kept asking me a few questions. And at the end, gave me a homeopathic remedy and says, try this and let me know tomorrow what happens. Lo and behold, I took some, this few pellets, tiny pellets, didn't think anything of it. And next morning, the abscess was better, at least 90% better. And by later on that day and the following day, essentially within 48 hours, it was completely gone. And it was something that was actually growing, was very painful. So I had no doubt in my mind that it was the remedy that I took that actually cleared that, because I hadn't been taking any other medication at that point. So that, at the age of, by that time, I was about 16 or 17 years old. That's when my curiosity was really triggered, and I started looking into it through self-study and whatnot, to learning more about homeopathy, which eventually I pursued that more formally and whatnot.
When that abscess cleared up, I can't help but ask, what happened with your dentist?
The dentist really was happy to see that it was cleared. And they said that we need to keep monitoring that just in case it comes back. And we're about 30 some odd years later, it still hasn't come back. But they didn't really ask questions, and I really didn't get into any details at that point with them, you know. So, but it's interesting that you asked that. When I think about it, I don't think there was any specific questions about the details of it. They were just happy when I went back that it was cleared. And they said, as long as it stays clear, we may not have any issue. And as I say, let's monitor it. And if it starts bothering you, let us know. So that was the end of that conversation there.
So they didn't have much of an interest, but it certainly, your experience led you on a different path.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that was, I mean, I was, that with a personal experience to me was, I didn't even doubt it for a second that if this is going to be the efficacy of it. The efficacy of it for me personally was beyond doubt effective. But the fact that's how something so little, one dose of it could create such response is what really made me curious to investigate and find out how does this process work. And I started getting a homeopathic remedy kit with a book that I ordered. And I started kind of using that on myself and other family members. And that's when I started seeing like really excellent results with colds and flus, sore throats, things like that, which, you know, further solidified my belief in seeing how homeopathic remedies work. And ever since then, I've not stopped studying it.
So what I want to do is, because we brought up homeopathy, and what I want to do is have you be able to just give a brief and probably the most simple to understand explanation about homeopathy. And we are going to get into a little bit later how it can benefit the pregnant mother and the postpartum and breastfeeding mother. So we're going to go into more detail, but I first just want to make sure everybody understands exactly what homeopathy is.
Okay, great. So homeopathy essentially was founded by Samuel Hahnemann, who is the founder of homeopathy. He was born in 1755 and passed on 1843, which he actually practiced almost until the last year, as of 1842, if I'm not mistaken, he was still practicing homeopathy and cured thousands of patients and whatnot. So that's how homeopathy started, by this German doctor, medical doctor, who kind of abandoned his medical practice because he did not like the fact of how the medications that he was using were harming the patients, or the procedures that were being done that were invasive. He just did not like that. So what he did was he abandoned his medical practice and went on to translating old medical literature. And what he believed was that the process of cure must be gentle, rapid, and permanent. And it was through clinical experimentation some of the knowledge that he was having from Hippocrates and Plato and whatnot, that he kind of came to understand that the effective drugs must produce symptoms in healthy people similar to what the disease presentation is. And that's where the law of similars in homeopathy, that a lot of people probably have heard of and whatnot, which essentially saying that in order to cure a condition, you must give a medicine that is capable of producing similar symptoms as the patient itself has. And then later on, through again accidental dosing of giving an adult a medication that was diluted, that was made for children, to see that when you even dilute medication in water and alcohol, you actually get better response from the patients. So he started kind of diluting that, and that hence the whole dilution process of how these homeopathic medicines are made, which is very unique. So in homeopathy, there are essentially two unique characteristics, which based on my understanding are somewhat exclusive to homeopathy. One is this concept of single medicine, which is the medication that is selected for the patient is selected for the patient only, which is intended to help the body to heal itself. In other words, to finish the cycle that is already started. So whether the symptoms are emotional and physical, homeopathy perceives them as body's way of wanting to correct itself. So what homeopathy does, finds a medicine that mimics the pattern of the patient, both emotional at emotional and physical level. And once that is introduced to the body, which is the second point, which is how low dose or diluted these medications are, then it triggers that patient's healing response. So this creates an extremely unique opportunity where the patient cannot be harmed because how low dose these medicines are. And it's been the field of nanotechnology and the nanoscience, and as recent as only the last 7 or 8 years, that's been able to explain this process in detail. And there are studies that Dr. Iris Bell has conducted, which is available, and I can later on provide that for individuals who may be interested in pursuing that more, which essentially showing the effect of nanoparticles on the tissue itself. So we have this concept of single medicine, that each patient receives only one medicine out of a selection of 4,000 plus that we have available. And these medicines are FDA regulated, and there is a protocol of how they need to be made. So they receive one medication, and it is to trigger your body's own healing response. And this medication is completely void of any toxicity, which is very unique, because anything that we ingest, if it's too much of it or the wrong thing, can harm the body, but that's not the case with homeopathic medicines.
And that's always of major importance, but in particular, when we're talking about women during their pregnancy and women postpartum who are breastfeeding, that they only take something that is safe for them and safe for their baby.
Absolutely, absolutely, because exactly, and that's the thing, that because anything you ingest usually has some active molecules that will end up in your blood system. So if you're a breastfeeding mother, there is a chance that it is going to end up in the breast milk. No matter how natural it is or not is not the question here. Is that is the material you're ingesting, is it going to change the physiology, or is it going to end up in the bloodstream, or possibly in affect the quality of the breast milk itself? Now, with the homeopathic medicines, since they are so diluted that there is no trace of the molecule of the starting medicine, then the biggest thing about it is that there is zero toxicity. So this is why pregnant mothers and infants have been able to use homeopathy for the past 200 years without ever having any complications.
So this is very, very incredibly exciting to me, and we are going to get to some issues that pregnant moms have and breastfeeding moms have and areas in which you have treated. What I want to do is I want to find out a little bit about you with reference to being a husband and a father, and I'd like to also talk to you about breastfeeding stuff. I always say it's like breastfeeding stuff for dads. So what I want to do is if you can tell us about just, you know, who your wife and your son and how old your son is, and then I'm going to ask you some things about early breastfeeding, but just first tell us a little bit about your wife and son.
Okay, sure. So essentially, I have my son's going to be 3.5 in about a month or so. And the experience of breastfeeding for my wife was a very interesting one, because even though she did have to have an emergency C-section, and so at the hospital that we were at, there was a lactation consultant that was helping my wife to kind of get started. However, that process was made more complicated, and I still don't understand why that was, because however she was being counseled or instructed was not the right way, that ended up leaving, you know, some trauma for her and some difficulty and pain breastfeeding. And it's interesting that it wasn't until we actually consulted our main or real lactation consultant that with that first visit she was able to really conduct this process properly, that almost she saw immediate benefits from doing it the right way. Whereas I thought that anybody who's licensed in that process should be able to kind of guide patients. However, that wasn't the case, which was really kind of interesting for me to find out. But long story short, is with the proper consultation is when she was able to continue breastfeeding without the difficulties and the pain that had was happening because she wasn't doing it the right way. So that made a huge difference, and she was able to breastfeed for over a year, at least a year and a half, I think it was. Our son, who's now 3 and a half, and of course we know how much breastfeeding is important to the health of the child and to building that immune system and whatnot, which is the best medicine in the world. If you ask me, the first year of the child's life, mother's milk is the number one nutrient and the medicine in of itself.
Do you remember if you or your wife had any particular thoughts about breastfeeding before she gave birth? In other words, were both of your assumptions that it was just something that was going to evolve? You give birth and you breastfeed. Did you have any ideas listening to other people that some people did have struggles and they did need help? They did go down a path of lots of struggles, or were you connected to people that it seemed rather easy? And so there was no specific preparation on your part with regards to taking classes, meeting with the consultant before, watching videos?
Correct. That's a very good question. So we thought that we were doing what we needed to by having worked with a midwife. And so we had gone through that process, and they did have, of course, name of individuals that we needed to go to. But hindsight, when I look at it, is that we could have probably benefited better if at our first consult with our midwife through the pregnancy process, we would have been introduced to our lactation consultant. And because it would have made the world of difference having had that knowledge up front. But we, since we had kind of gone there, we just thought that everything was going to happen the way what it needed to. But since at the end, we were not able to have a natural birth, that kind of changed matters. And so when we ended up, giving an emergency C-section, even 12 hours before that, we didn't know that's what was going to happen. I guess that's kind of partly also change things. But when I look at things now or to my existing patients, what I do is I have them start having a conversation with a lactation consultant as soon as they know that they're pregnant, because that will make a world of difference, because my wife did not have to go through that very uncomfortable initial experience of, the pain that was, created and whatnot from not, breastfeeding properly, so to speak. So what I have learned is the importance of lactation consultant. And to answer your question, no, I did not know that it was so important to have that education and consultation ahead of time versus waiting for the actual delivery time.
Based on your personal experience, it sounds like whenever you have an opportunity to be a somewhat of an influence to pregnant patients, it sounds like you are talking to them about the importance of educating themselves about breastfeeding and or meeting with a consultant ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's going to make all the difference in the world for a mother. And of course, as a family as a whole, right, it impacts everybody. If the mother is suffering, of course, the partner's going to be very concerned. It's going to affect the whole dynamic of a situation. And you have a newborn baby at hand, which is going to pick up on the discomfort that the family is having. So I think that having a proper education, which can only be done by an experienced and knowledgeable lactation consultant, I think it's an absolute must for the mother primarily, and then also with whoever's involved with the delivery process.
So we can talk like very clinical. What I'm curious to know is the experience that your wife had in the hospital, and when you had help afterwards. I visited with you and your wife afterwards. Can you tell me a little bit about the emotional feelings that you had as a husband and a father watching your wife struggle and be in pain in those very early days, what that was like for you?
It was extremely stressful and uncomfortable because you have a feeling of a certain level of helplessness that seeing that the mother of your child, your wife, your partner is suffering, is already gone through the birthing process, right? And when is the time for them to just kind of start the healing process and connecting with the baby and whatnot, even though it was happening, but seeing the mother and my wife being in so much pain, it was extremely difficult for me. Because again, it was more of a feeling of helplessness that you want to do something immediately to help matters. And of course we did do some remedies that kind of take away the pain, but if the process was not being done right, so every experience of breastfeeding was not pleasant at all during that initial days until we were able to have a visit with you.
Right, and you recognized that there were some things that you could do to be helpful, but you realized that if the process itself of, in her case, latching the baby on, if that part was not fixed, then you can only do so much on your end.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we call a maintaining cause in homeopathy, meaning that there's something that contributes to that pain, continuous pain. So no matter how effective your treatment plan is, if the baby is just not breastfeeding properly and hurting the breast tissue every time that it is feeding, obviously you're creating new trauma every time. So that's what we call a maintaining cause.
What do you think from a father's perspective? I'm curious to know what you learned as a result of myself working with your wife that you could be helpful and of value to her afterwards. And I'm asking this specifically because I know it's stereotyping, but it just is that guys often think, well, she's the one breastfeeding and I really can't do too much to help. So when I have a partner in a consult, I am giving them good eye contact and I'm explaining to them also what it is that I'm doing, because my hope is that they could be helpful to the breastfeeding mom once I leave. So I'm curious to know from your perspective, if you remember, what are some of the very specific things that I did when working with your wife that you felt was helpful that you could kind of take over when I was gone? Because as consultants, we may come and visit you, but we don't live with you. So we're really relying on you to get some key pointers in how you can be of a help.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the involvement is, first of all, learning that there is a technique to the process, understanding the process, so you can continue to learn together, which I think is another point of actually connecting for individuals to their partner. You know, being involved in that process versus, as you were saying, thinking that this is something that belongs to the mother in of itself. And as you're saying, I think everything about the birthing process is something that the both partners should be involved almost equally. You know, even though physiologically one person is more involved than others because of how the nature works, but as far as the emotional and the actual support and working together, I think it absolutely requires the both partners' participation, because they have to both understand it so that they know how to support their partner. That's I think is very critical. And if anything, the education for the husband or whoever the partner is even more important than the wife itself, because they're the ones that at the point of distress, they have to remind perhaps the mother of, okay, this is what, for example, Lori had mentioned, here's the technique, these are the things that were talked about, because sometimes mothers in the moment, they may not be able to retain all the information. So it's always good to have the partner to be just so actively involved and actually taking notes as to what are the points that you're mentioning. It was really important. I mean, especially seeing that immediate result, you know, just instant result of how much more comfortable the whole breastfeeding process became once you showed us how it needs to be done. It was amazing. And it gives so much confidence, I think, both to myself and my wife as to feeling a lot better about that whole process. Whereas otherwise it was going the other direction of saying, oh my God, you know, again, the feeling of helplessness, this thing is not working. The mother's getting hurt every time.
So. Right. And now you could feel knowledgeable and proactive in the process.
Oh, absolutely. The only source of knowledge is experience, according to Albert Einstein. And it's so important. Having experience that is something completely different. So that's why I always encourage others to get the training, because it is that experience that is needed. And the sooner, the better, the more comfortable you're going to feel, the more prepared you're going to be in order to make sure that that does not become an issue. Something that can go so smoothly and become such a pleasurable process end up being something that's going to create difficulty for the mother.
And, you know, once she got through the early difficulties and breastfeeding became more comfortable and she became more confident and you were able to see this relationship grow, I'd like to hear from your perspective, what are some of the positive and beautiful things that you observed with your wife breastfeeding your son as time went on?
Well, the positive things were that how she looked forward to breastfeeding. You know, instead of, you know, kind of, you know, anticipating pain, she was anticipating joy. And that really made all the difference, you know, and I can totally see that how mothers could be discouraged of wanting to continue to breastfeed. And that encouragement and looking forward to it, I think, increases the bond that you make with your child and vice versa, you know, and that just kind of made such a solid relationship between my wife and my son and myself, because that whole thing no longer was an issue, and which is a big deal. You know, some things, you know, you don't think about, you only are noticed when there's a problem that comes to surface. But right. When it's done properly and consulted with professionals like yourself, it becomes seamless. Like you almost don't even think about it. But when you go back, you're like, oh my God, you know, you would only know or hear from individuals who did not go well. So if the process is done, you are educated ahead of time and it is being done the right way, it never becomes an issue. You visit, you know, you have a few visits with your consultant and that's it. And you don't think anything of it. But what's behind the scene is that there's a lot of science behind it. That if it's not done properly, then the issues will come, and that's when individuals, you know, become desperate and whatnot.
But right, and that's what I often say. I just really want to be able for moms and dads for it to be a normal, natural rhythm of their everyday life, and they, you know, I leave, say goodbye, and they just go on their merry way.
That's right. That's right. And that's exactly how it can happen for most people. I really feel, which is. Really, and that's why, again, with every pregnant mother, the very first thing I mentioned to them is that you do need to call and meet with your lactation consultant, because it's such an important thing. And it's so easy to ignore also, because like you said, this perception of thinking, well, either how hard could it be, or we'll learn it, or we'll do that. But, you know, it is very much something that... we need the education, especially since with the way the humanity works, you know, for thousands of years, we are so far away from the natural birth day in and day out, you know, like probably maybe 10,000 years ago, a mother would have seen the proper way of hands-on breastfeeding probably multiple times before she were to have her own. Whereas nowadays, chances are most mothers haven't even seen the proper way of how this process needs to get started or if there is a problem, how do you correct it? So there is little to zero hands-on experience, and therefore that education becomes even that much more important.
Right. I often say that we are frequently hidden from some of life's most interesting circumstances, such as birth, death, early breastfeeding. And so we fear a lot of what actually happens on a regular daily basis, but we fear what we don't know, and we are definitely missing, not all, but many of us are missing several generations of growing up in homes, seeing, you know, old enough to see other women, in this case, breastfeed. So when it comes our turn, there's no kind of knowledge that we've gained just by living in a household and seeing and observing. And we're missing that innate. And then we're also missing the wise women in our family and community helping us in the very early days of breastfeeding. And there are other reasons why, but I think that's a big reason why many of us struggle in the early days of breastfeeding. And it's just that way, and it's that way with birth. So you're absolutely right. What I would love to talk about now is, I really want to know from your perspective, what are some of the ailments that women are coming to you during their pregnancy, that is common pregnancy ailments that you're finding really great success with?
Okay, so during pregnancy, well, if we want to take it from the very beginning, initially is infertility. Okay, so that's kind of the number one thing, that anytime the body's not completely balanced, it's not going to get pregnant by default. So forcing it to get pregnant, obviously you're asking for more complications. Whereas when the body gets it to its optimal health or balanced health, then it's a lot easier for it to get pregnant. So the fertility becomes one of the first issues. Then after getting pregnant, now I do have to say that individuals who have received homeopathic treatment and have responded well generally go through that entire pregnancy and delivery process much easier. Just like, remember how we said if somebody consults you, chances are the whole thing is a breeze. This is the same way. So the most cases that I treat are the individuals who come to us as a referral because the problem has already arisen. And I can tell you what those are. Anything from the after pains to heartburn of pregnancy to labor difficulties to lactation issues to mastitis to nausea of pregnancy and nursing difficulties are things. And also when they get acute conditions, like any condition during pregnancy that requires them to take either antibiotics or other things that the mothers don't want to do, that's when they come to us. Because again, with homeopathic medicine, we don't have to worry about, are we harming the mother or the baby, or are we complicating that pregnancy process?
So I imagine it's a combination, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, with either not wanting to take certain medications, or they have taken certain medications and they found that it's not working.
Oh yeah. But probably the one that's not working is generally probably the number one, because people don't think of homeopathy as a first line of treatment, right? And the ones who have that already been treated, chances are they're going to have less complications anyway, right? So you're right in that they have tried it and they really are not getting the results, but at the same time, they're not happy about the fact that they have taken drugs that have side effects. And I think that's a mother's innate, natural, inborn feeling, that I'm yet to see a mother who is, when is pregnant, is becomes very defensive when it comes to taking things that can be harming them or have any kind of side effects. So they never feel good about it anyway. Even if it's something that's over counter and very seemingly non-threatening, they still don't like the fact that they have side effects that are associated with them. And most medications, if not all, they always do give you a precautionary advice of it's best not to take if you're pregnant.
Right. So I'm feeling like even if a mother isn't suffering with any kind of infertility issues and she conceives rather easily, and even if she hasn't having any first trimester medical concerns. It's sounding to me like it would still really be great for her to come in for, I'm going to use the word evaluation, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, for an evaluation with a homeopathic so that they can just do a whole evaluation so that their pregnancy as a whole can be gentler and easier on them without many of the common symptoms that we go through?
Oh, absolutely. So essentially, as you recall, what we do with homeopathy is only triggering your own healing response, right? We're strengthening your own immune by allowing to the body do it on its own terms, right? We're triggering response. We're not forcing response. And as such, when you look at it, you can see that there is no mother in this particular case, pregnant mother, that could not benefit from a healthier state. You see, this is different. This is not a form of a supplement. This is not a form of a medicine that's going to force change. This is a form of actually giving you a remedy that matches your existing state so the body itself starts to become more balanced. And yes, to answer your question, so the question becomes, can you afford becoming more balanced? Or can your immune afford becoming more stronger? Which means less likelihood of catching colds or some other condition, or if you have them, for it to clear sooner, you know. And overall, stronger immune means less complications, you know.
Yes, so we can think of homeopath as good prevention. Like, we don't need to wait to have acute symptoms before we come in to get help and get treated. We can come in as a preventative.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you did do that, the likelihood of even any other condition to appear in the future becomes almost next to nothing. This goes with all the phases of life. This goes with, like, and you can always survey those patients who are being treated homeopathically. For example, when the later ages, when they approach menopause, rarely do they start suffering severely from menopausal symptoms. You know what I mean? Same thing with during the pregnancy, that when the body is balanced, because in nature, it's not meant to go through hardship during pregnancy. But the problem is the stress that the body goes through of having to work over time, then the existing symptoms become exasperated, including emotional. And this is where the postpartum, a lot of postpartum issues happen, is because if we, and I'm sure all the mothers can agree that they may have not been in the best ideal state prior to pregnancy, perhaps, and what, or the process of pregnancy have created some stresses for them that then later on, emotionally, they start to feel some difficulties. And this is because the body starts, everything becomes magnified. And I think most mothers and people who have delivered can testify to this, that whatever issue you have had at some point can get magnified because of the pressure that the body goes through.
So have you taken the time to do, like, case histories? And I'm not looking for you to give us a whole explanation at this moment, but what I'm curious is, do you have studies of moms that you have worked with who come to you during the very early stages of pregnancy for that kind of checkup and balancing, and see them through the pregnancy and see them through, let's just say, the first year postpartum? And are you seeing a definite marked difference in the decrease of the negative symptoms that lots of moms go through with regards to feeling the blues and depression and other health issues and dietary issues and mom baby issues and sleeping issues and all that kinds of stuff postpartum? Is there a great decrease in all those symptoms in the moms that you get to see from pregnancy beyond, and moms who wait to come see you when they're in a crisis mode, and how long it takes them to correct their symptoms?
I would have to say yes, most definitive, yes, absolutely. And to take that a step further, another thing that we also see is that, for example, a pregnant mother, let's say, that comes to us, who's had, let's say, one or two other children prior. And let's say the mother has suffered from asthma before or allergies. We see that their children are also more likely to exhibit those conditions. Whereas the mothers who get treated homeopathically and have responded well, we see that they no longer pass that condition on to their offspring. In other words, those children are even less likely to develop other conditions that their older siblings had because they had inherited it from their parents.
So that's fascinating. And so it sounds to me that you're a lot like me in that when you get to see and meet and work with someone in the early stages of pregnancy, it's similar to the extreme joy that I get when I have an opportunity to have a consult with a mom before she's had her baby, because you're just taking a look at the situation. And I know from my perspective, I get real excited about it because I'm looking at this mom and I'm saying to myself, I'm just so excited because I really feel like I'm going to be able to give you some really good help, tips, suggestions, knowledge base that is going to help you preventatively rather than only just come to me when you're in a crisis mode. So that excites me beyond anything. And I imagine you feel the same way.
Oh yeah. That's, I mean, absolutely. And I think most, if not all people that are involved in natural birth process and natural healing of any kind, the primary reason that we're here is that genuine concern about healing and betterment of the health of both emotional and physical of everybody that we come in contact with. And like, for example, one of the things in order for maybe perhaps some of your audience to, in order to help them to better both understand and solidify what it is that we're talking about here, if you do go to our website, for example, which is at homeopathycare.org, homeopathycare.org, we have patient videos. Now, if you see any patient video from anywhere that of patients that have done homeopathy, one of the things that you see common in all the patients once they talk about their experience with homeopathy is that this improvement at the emotional plane, how they feel better emotionally. So that's interesting. And you can see that, okay, so if everybody who does that, what they have in common is that they also report, regardless of what the condition they come in for, is that they feel better emotionally. You can see that how a mother that's about to get pregnant or is pregnant about to deliver, how that shift in emotional, once they emotionally start to feel better, how that can impact the cell regeneration and the whole development process of that new baby.
One of the things I wanted to ask you that gets a little confusing to me, and I imagine to most consumers, is that I know the way that you do your work best is by sitting down with someone one-on-one and doing a complete evaluation and asking many questions and being able to get feedback. And then that's one of the ways that you're able to decide which remedies, single remedies or a combination of remedies. And there is, you know, we can easily go to Sprouts or Whole Foods or, I mean, I'm just talking locally in Arizona, but any health food store and even in mainstream CVS and Walgreens now, I've seen homeopathic tablets being able to be purchased. When my kids were little, many moons ago, I did not have access to anybody to help me with homeopathic medicine for my kids. So I bought a kit and I dabbled and I think I did pretty well. They didn't have too many things going on, but there were definitely a few things that I really did see immediate results, which just spurred me on. But I surely wish that I would have had someone to consult with to kind of get to the right remedies a little quicker. And as I worked with my kids, I started to learn more about which remedies worked and which one, because it wasn't always the same for each child. So I find it confusing that we can, that it works best with a full evaluation. You can really target for that person emotionally and physically. And yet we have remedies that we can just purchase. Now, I know I trust that, and I believe that there can be no harm done. Uh-huh. But at the same time, I think it can be quite confusing or frustrating for parents who purchase the remedies and then for it to, quote unquote, not work. And maybe it wasn't the remedy itself that didn't work, but rather the right remedy and the right dilution or the wrong combination for their specific child.
Oh, that's very true. I mean, because one of the things, even during the acute care treatment, is that there's always more than one remedy for any condition, even acute, that could potentially work. Now, I have some suggestion for your audience that they can get started on their own. And then hopefully as they see the results, they can always find a homeopath that they can always consult with. And nowadays, the beauty of one of the advantages of the advanced technology is that you could still find the best homeopath. And regardless of where they reside, you still can connect with them through Skype, through phone, through other means. So that's a good thing to have nowadays. So that helps us to fill in the gap in areas where there are no local homeopaths. But I'd like to, if it's okay with you, mention some reference points for your listeners.
Yes, that, please.
That they can kind of start the kind of this process. So as you mentioned, there is, once the right remedy is given, there's a very high likelihood that there would be almost immediate response in acute conditions. So when we don't get a response from a remedy that you have used in the past, chances are, as Lori mentioned, that we may have not selected the right remedy. So I'm going to help you with giving you, for example, there is a book. It's called Homeopathic Remedies. That's the title. And it's by, the author is a naturopathic physician. His name is Asa Hershoff. So the first name is A-S-A, and the last name is Hershoff. H-E-R-S-H-O-F-F. That's a very good, simplistic, first-time reference book to keep at home to treat non-life-threatening, non-chronic conditions. So if it's a condition you've had for years or months, chances are this thing may not be helpful. But if you're talking about a food poisoning that's just occurred, or there is urinary tract infection that has just happened, or influenza, or a cold, or a cough, this would be a very good book to have at hand. So you can go to the section of coughs, for example, and then decipher to see between like the six or seven remedies and its description, which one matches your child the most. Then you go to your local store and then you're able to pick the more accurate remedy. So that would be one place. The other thing is that if you go to our website, we have a section on the first aid remedies. Again, go to homeopathycare.org. And I have a list of, I think, the top 12 remedies that you really need to have at home. So you could just kind of print that list there and just purchase that and keep that at home, so that you have some of the ones that, for cases of like extreme emergencies, like if your child gets a concussion, the first thing you want to do is give them some pellets of that Arnica 200C. This is not to delay medical care, by the way. This is to, so that you could reduce the complications that may happen while you take your child to the urgent care hospital, to your physician, whoever it may be that needs to care for them. Or if it's a third degree burn, your child has, you know, just poured the hot boiling water over, and it can be very distressing, very extreme, you know, situation. You give them a dose of Cantharis, which I have it on the website there, immediately while you do call 911 or while you do take them to urgent care and whatnot. And you can see incredible results from patients who use them, where there is little to no scarring afterwards, and the whole healing process can be substantially reduced from weeks to months to just few days or hours in some cases. So that would be a place to start with some basic remedies you want to keep at home. And then I also have this book so you can take with you whenever there is an acute condition to see what's the best remedy to be selected.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is that when non-emergent illnesses come up, that you're more likely to easily find a remedy that using the book and the symptoms that will help. But if it's anything emergency, there's still something homeopathically that you can do while you're getting that medical help. But the other take-home message that I'm getting is that if this is a chronic condition, this is not something that you just want to go read a book, look underneath your symptoms, if you've had chronic UTI for 5 years,
correct,
and go to a store and pick up a couple of remedies and have this expectation for it to eradicate that UTI to never come back. A chronic condition is something that you really feel you really need to have a full evaluation, but something simple, something the first time around, then that's more appropriate.
Absolutely, absolutely. You exactly. Because the chronic condition, homeopathy deals with differently. Because let's say if you are having recurrent UTIs, for example, if you look at our last 10 patients who were treated by for UTI condition, you see that they've received 10 different medications because they're 10 different individuals. However, when we are in a true acute condition, which is just is a short-lived, it's not chronic, it's not recurring and whatnot, then it creates a very specific state that a lot of times these acute remedies can capture and help you get over them relatively very quickly. Absolutely. But when something happens again, that means your body is struggling with getting rid of the root cause of why you're having it. And we don't believe two people have the same chronic condition for the same reason.
So in a good way, I bet you get real excited when you meet a mother who has been suffering with nauseousness during her pregnancy or heartburn, some of those very common conditions, and UTIs are prevalent during pregnancy. And I bet you anything, you get real excited when you're able to help a mom homeopathically and different than them having to take the antibiotics during pregnancy, for instance, for a UTI, which we all know that antibiotics are great. However, they're overused and they certainly do not help for chronic UTIs during pregnancy. So what I'm saying is I bet you get real excited when you're able to zero in on a remedy or two or treatment that really helps a mom during her pregnancy and she's able to avoid medication.
Oh, very much so, especially since the response is generally, we're talking matter of really minutes to hours versus days. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, absolutely. Because in 80% of the time, it's that day that they feel the relief, which is, yeah, we're very happy to hear it. Because like you said, especially with pregnant mothers, because you can't help but feel just a lot more even compassion for that, you know, the new baby that's being developed, you know, but you don't want to in any way jeopardize that environment, you know.
What is, give me like one or two of the top common complaints that moms have in, let's say, the first 6 weeks postpartum that you commonly hear that you've learned can be quickly resolved from an appointment with you.
Okay, postpartum, well, sometimes it could be the pains, you know, sometimes there are, you know, like the after pains that still remain, the soreness from the labor and whatnot, right? Which, for example, Arnica is the number one remedy that you would want to take in order to both reduce complications of infections, but also recover from bruises, soreness that kind of happens after labor, right? Now, sometimes if there's a great irritability over sensitivity that a mother has after having delivered, or especially after when the child gets nurses, every time nursing the child, afterwards the mother gets this irritability, there is chamomilla. Which is made homeopathic one, which you get in a pellet form, can be of a great help. The other main remedy that helps on nerves and especially when there's a use of vacuum or forceps, which creates pain in the hips for the mother, is called Hypericum, which again, they have that readily available. That's another remedy that can become very effective. And the list kind of goes on. If that's one of the things, of course, what else? We have.
What about one of the other very common things that I work with moms in talking about holding their babies and positioning their babies, even if they're doing more laid back nursing, there's still some degree of strength that they need to have in their arms and hands and wrists. And lots of moms really suffer after birth with those carpal tunnel like symptoms of the tingling in their hands and wrists and the like feeling like they're going numb in that area.
Correct. Correct. So there's a few different remedies that can be used there. Again, the number one becomes that arnica, because that soreness and bruising sensation can help. Another one is called Roustox, which really comes from poison ivy. Those are the kind of joint pains that they get better by motion, but when they first starting to move the joint or the arm, they feel like extreme pain that gets better by continuous motion. Roustox is another kind of a remedy. So those are some of the ones. And then now this homeopathic remedies book, as I mentioned to you, also has more choices on each of these conditions that gives you like 6 or 7 different medicines and the description of how each one of those work, which help. But just to mention to the, what you were talking about, arnica should always be the number one thing to go to. Now, what they can also do is use that arnica cream topically in those areas that they feel that soreness.
You mean on their hands?
Correct. Okay. So the arnica cream can be used topically for the areas that is thing. But if the soreness continues and it's a continuous soreness feeling, then take an arnica, perhaps a 200 dose of it. It would say 200 CK next to it. That would definitely help with giving them a palliative relief. And of course, by them getting proper instructions from you on to not to continuously overstraining a particular muscle, for example, and different ways that they can, handle the baby and making sure that they not continuously overstressing a particular muscle. But what they want to do is right away apply arnica cream topically and also take it orally if the pain is unbearable.
And I'm also curious what your opinion is on when a mother gives birth and she's having all these hormonal shifts. It's my belief to a certain degree that their body should also be allowed to go and feel this natural process of postpartum blues. And I'm not talking about when they're really getting depressed and things are really changing very in a rough way hormonally.
Right.
But I also like to know your opinion, because I just think that sometimes we actually just need to go through that process. If we're comfortable with knowing and understanding that it's a normal process as we have this hormonal shift from pregnancy to birth to the early days of postpartum, and that we need to always be trying to take something to make some general symptoms go away.
That's true. And that's one of the difficulties that we face in that we're used to whatever symptom, let's give it a medicine right away. You're absolutely about saying that not everything needs a medication, and allowing the body to process itself, actually you're helping the body to be able to learn to do things. However, if the feeling of sadness or, you know, not feeling so positive goes beyond just in an hour or two, then we see that that's something that shouldn't really happen if it's really continuous and it's not clearing in of itself. But if it clears, you're not getting it again, obviously there's no need to do anything. But believe it or not, if the body is healthy, even that breastfeeding part actually will give the mother a sense of comfort the way the nature does in of itself, both baby and the mother, right? So, but if a mother feels that, you know what, I am getting irritated or I am getting overly emotional. Now, like you said, there are parts of it where you may become teary and emotional but ultimately deep inside you feel good about it. You know what I mean? When it's a natural way of things, right?
Right, right.
When you feel like yourself, like I am not being myself, and you feel, especially feelings of either rage or suicidal thoughts, those are not, I don't believe those are part of the natural process. And the only reason I'm saying that, Lori, is that because the ones who really give the proper delivery and everything goes well, they don't report any of that.
Right. And listen, I totally agree with you. I was just bringing that up as a point of reference in that we've really become a society that with the least little bit of baby blues and the least little bit of tearfulness, moms are looking to take something to make that go away.
Yeah.
And you know, this is where we talk about education, about their caregiver understanding that they're the people who are around them postpartum, their partners, that they are able to see and look objectively in addition to what the mother herself is describing. So the last thing I ever want to do is hold a mom back from treatment because she's waiting for those symptoms to get better. But I just think that we still live in a society where I've certainly observed enough moms who are looking for all kinds of remedy and taking all different kinds of stuff to make what my perception is a very normal shifting of their whole hormonal balancing workout. It's like the body is trying to work it out itself and it's actually quite minimal, and perhaps it's better to just let it do what's on its own with a watchful eye.
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, actually, we even have a term which with in homeopathy with the point that you're making, which is extremely important, which is called the minimum dose. In homeopathy, the worst the condition, we don't give more to get more results. We always are like, you have to get by with the minimum amount of dosing. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Even on the acute conditions, when you start taking that remedy that you just purchased from the store, you take a dose like 3 pellets under your tongue of, let's say, of an arsenicum for like some stomach upset or whatnot. As soon as you see improvement, you don't take the remedy. Okay, so you don't take the remedy and you only repeat when you see the symptoms starting to get worse. And a lot of times you see the better the remedy works, the less actually you need, not more, in order for it to work better. Which goes back to your point, Lori, is that you're absolutely right that giving medicine is not the first line. And many a times we have to allow the body to heal itself. And as a matter of fact, when you get treated homeopathically, you'll see that I have many patients that they don't even take homeopathic remedy when they go through acute conditions. Because they're like, you know what, my body's taking care of it so well, and I'm not even concerned about it. So you're absolutely right in saying that the medicine should only be used when we see the body itself cannot help itself.
Thank you for that. That brings me to another point that I hear many people confused about, and I always find it hard to explain in my words. So I'm going to ask you and see if you could give me a better way of of explaining it in more simple terms, is that there are questions about how to take the remedy. So am I taking it under my tongue? Am I letting it dissolve? Can I take it with anything else? Can I drink water afterwards? Can I have food afterwards? So can you explain that to me?
Of course, of course. So one thing to bear in mind is that you are working with nanoscience, nanoparticles. Okay. So as long as you get any number of pellets, we usually say 3 because you make sure that you have some. So allowing 3 pellets dissolve under your tongue. And it is always best to avoid food and water on either side for about 5 to 10 minutes. Okay. However, in some situations that may not be possible. And that doesn't mean the remedy is not going to work or the body is not going to respond. Those are just the ideal situations. Also, times where you're dealing with an infant where you feel like even that tiny pellet is difficult to just put it in their mouth, you can always put a few pellets in a glass bottle, cup, and or it could be a paper cup, doesn't matter, and you can stir that with some, you know, spring water or, you know, purified water, and generally using a non-metal, like a plastic spoon would be ideal. And then you just give them a very small sip of it. And that's considered one dose. So there are different ways of giving that homeopathic remedy. But the easiest way is that you just place those pellets without handling them with your fingers. That's why a lot of them have a cap at the end. So once you roll it, they just fall into the cap. So you're not really handling them with your fingers. Mm-hmm. And you're just placing them under your tongue. Now, again, in the case of a baby, you don't need to concern yourself if it goes under their tongue. Just one or two tiny pellets, you know, going inside it, as long as they start, you know, tasting it, that's sufficient enough. Or if you feel the baby is, too small, or it may be sleeping and you don't want him to kind of, you know, for that to choke on it or whatnot, even though they're so tiny and they dissolve right away, you can always dilute them in water, stir it, and just put a few drops of that, in their mouth. And that's good enough. That's considered one dose.
You know, when my kids were much younger and I was dabbling in homeopathy, I had always wondered if giving them a dose under their tongue, and lots of times if your baby is still breastfeeding or toddler is still breastfeeding, and if they're sick or they got injured, breastfeeding is very calming to them. So I might have given a remedy and then right away breastfed them. And then there were times when I thought, oh, I don't know, did that give the remedy enough time to work?
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is that the response is dynamic. You know, the response is dynamic. So once you give the remedy, the body starts to kind of respond. And generally, we ask that if you've not even seen the response by the first dose, you can repeat again within the first, depending on the condition, generally within the first hour or two, you know. And after two or three doses, if you're not getting a response, that means that is not the right remedy.
Okay, thank you for that. So I know you are local here to me in Phoenix, and I know you work with patients online and you do Skype consults. I'd also like for you to share with us if there's something that specific that you're working on, anything that you're excited about that you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, thank you for asking. Well, one of the things that I'm very excited to work on is called the new homeopathic proving. So these new homeopathic medicines, the way we learn about them is that we take a substance from a nature and we go through that dilution process, and we get the list of volunteers who take this remedy, and they record the list of their symptoms over the next coming month or so. And neither the person that supervises those individuals nor the individuals taking it obviously know that what they're taking. And then what we do is we record all their symptoms and we put this together, and that becomes the result of knowing about a new medicine that is going to eventually help somebody else that may need it. So I'm very excited about a new proving that we're going to start conducting in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So if there are individuals that want to get involved in a homeopathic proving process, the only criteria is that you have to be a healthy individual. You cannot be taking any medication or supplements during this process. And this is another way of actually experiencing homeopathy, of seeing that how a drug can have consistent symptoms and even dream patterns on a group of people. And that's how we learn about the medicinal effect of a new substance. To give an example, we've done at the American Medical College of Homeopathy has done a lot of provings locally here. One is, for example, a saguaro cactus. And another one is the desert tortoise. South African desert tortoise. And they've done many other provings, but those are the two that we have used many local patients of. We've cured them of some really chronic conditions, including asthma, including severe depression, which is kind of very interesting to see that there are elements. Every element in the nature has a curative power, which homeopathy captures and is able to use it for individuals to overcome their condition. So what I'm very excited about is that we're going to be doing a new medicine. In other words, a medicine that has not been proved before, used homeopathically, which we're going to be doing that proving. And once the result comes out, then we share that with the homeopathic community and elsewhere. And they enter those list of symptoms, catalog of symptoms with that particular medicine. So when a patient in the different parts of the world exhibits same pattern of sleep pattern or physiological symptoms, then they can think of that remedy as potentially something that can help that individual.
Are you in the middle of these particular studies, or is it something that if a listener wanted to see if they were appropriate to participate, that they could contact you?
They can contact us. So they have a good, this is not going to start until the latter part of September. So they have at least good, 2 to 3 weeks in order to get with us if they're interested in participating in the homeopathic proving. at which point, of course, we will give him a good overview of what this process entails. And we would love to have individuals participate because they can help the homeopathic community, that will for sure help someone else in the future to be able to be cured of some condition that otherwise it could have not been helped. And for them to also learn about this homeopathy firsthand of how do we know about these medicines.
That's great. So any of my All About Breastfeeding listeners, you are welcome to contact Ben and tell him that you heard about it from the All About Breastfeeding show. And can you tell us exactly where they would contact you again?
Oh, sure. So they can either go through our website, they can go to click on contact us and send us a message that way. That's homeopathycare.org. Or they can call us directly here at 602-888-7222. So either way, whether they feel more comfortable online or they want to call us directly, we welcome their calls. This could also be with other inquiries that they may have. If they would like to learn more about how to use these homeopathic medicines, or they're a health professional, they like a training because we have a lot of times free workshops for health professionals about homeopathy, or they would like a homeopathic presentation at their schools or at their, for the community or their social groups or meetup groups, I'll be more than happy to provide presentations on homeopathy and get to more specifically showing them clinical cases, patients, and get into more in-depth presentation on how homeopathy works.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. And I've been to your very lovely office, and it's a really nice, calming place to be. Met your assistant, Bianca. She's wonderful. So I think that whoever might call you and connect with you will be in excellent hands. And I encourage anybody who has an interest in homeopathy to check out your website and give you a call. Is there anything else, any parting words that you wanted to share with my listeners of pregnant and breastfeeding moms that you think might be of value to them?
Yes, I really feel that this whole process of honoring the breastfeeding and educating the public at large, so we could as a community become more welcoming and accepting and accommodating. I think we can always be, and we need to become more accommodating to the all the potential mothers and the pregnant mothers and in this case the breastfeeding mothers, where we encourage them, where I think once our society understands the benefits of breastfeeding, for example, how we need to modify our attitude towards it, how the employers need to honor more extensive time to mothers and also make accommodations on site for breastfeeding mothers in all work environments, and both private and public sector. And I think this is the process of education. That's what we're involved in, or anybody else who's involved in the natural healing of things that can help mothers without harming them in any way. I think the more we understand that and we more communicate that, that can actually bring about a certain level of social change where a lot of our other problems in the world can be resolved also. I firmly believe that one of the problems that we have now that has contributed to the greater problem that we're having socially, politically, religiously, however you want to look at it, I think it can be resolved by appreciating and educating more the public about the importance of parenting and the mothers and the breastfeeding and the birthing process and all of that. And I think the more we honor that, the more we're going to appreciate other things, and we're going to be able to develop children that are going to come into this world with more compassion and love for one another that can resolve a lot of the issues that we're having. So I don't see this as a one linear way that, okay, there's a breastfeeding. I see this, if this is done properly and is educated, more public becomes educated, I think we're actually going to see a difference in how we operate socially in all the areas of life.
Well, from a guy, that was said absolutely beautifully. Frequently, I can't say things that my guests say. I just can't improve on it in any way, shape, or form. You are music to my ears, and I love that it just comes totally unsolicited from a male. And I totally agree with you. So thank you so much for sharing that last bit of sentiments and personal feelings from your heart. I appreciate you being here with me on the show. And I welcome my listeners to give homeopathic medicine an opportunity, a chance to help them. And I certainly encourage them to contact you, Ben. So thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you.